This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply, simply understand fully, mortgage confidently. What's going on this Tuesday across the country? We are creeping toward February, January 22nd. Wow. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM 206. Great job on the baseball first hour. Nicely done. So now we know our audience has a little baseball intellect. Improve themselves. That was a little test for you. And we'll keep an eye on the Hall of Fame, obviously. That's going to be announced in a couple of hours. And that was a good hour here on the show. Nice to really dive into a little baseball. Something if you and I have done, thousands of shows together at this point. Yeah. How many times do you think we've led with baseball? 10?
Yeah, probably. But they were years ago around the Pete Rose stuff when it was really coming to a head.
I mean.
But it's rare, dude.
It's hard. It's hard. Well, listen, it's proven that that's really not what people want. But today I thought it was a good day to do it. Mm-hmm. Obviously football's king, and we'll get to the hoops a little bit later on. Klay Thompson, who went bonkers last night, and have the Warriors, we'll talk about their demise maybe a little bit early, so we'll get to that. Next segment, DeMarco Farr, formerly of the Rams. He's currently their sideline reporter. Mm-hmm. All right, Teague, how about this Carson Wentz stuff? Now, we did this in Inbounds, Out of Bounds mm-hmm. yesterday, but we both wanted to circle back and really have a chance to expand our views on this. The quick, I want to tee you up, and then you roll with it, and you take us where we got to go here. But PhillyVoice.com had this article, obviously very explosive on the surface, that contains quotes from, as I read, more than half a dozen players plus other sources close to the team, all of whom insisted on anonymity regarding quarterback Carson Wentz. While he has been described as incredibly hardworking, determined, and highly intelligent.
That's all that matters. Go ahead, keep finishing.
Okay, interesting. Wentz has also been dubbed as, quote, selfish, uncompromising, egotistical, one who plays favorites, doesn't like to be questioned, and one who needs to practice what he preaches and fails to take accountability.
Yeah, like he's quotes. Because he's young, because he's in the league for 2 years. Like, it's interesting, PT, because the only reason this is a story is because Nick Foles has played so well in his stead. Mm-hmm. Whenever he's been hurt, Nick Foles has done amazing things. Go on the road, win ridiculous games this year, get them into the postseason, and a game away from the championship game. Obviously, last year, and really impossible, at least it was thought of, circumstances led them to a Super Bowl championship and a Super Bowl MVP to boot. And so because Nick Foles is in this conversation, there has to be some sort of quarterback controversy as it relates to Carson Wentz. Here's the reality. Carson Wentz is just like almost every other quarterback who's ever been a really good quarterback. The problem is that he hasn't been as reliable. And so when asked questions about him, you start to nitpick and you start to talk about these little things that maybe bother you a little bit, but aren't really a big deal. But because there's another option, they become a bigger deal, right? It becomes that divided locker room. Do I think his teammates dislike him? No. Do I think that they think he needs to grow up sometimes? Yeah. But everybody thinks that about a second-year quarterback in the National Football League. You don't just walk
say that about Mariota. I haven't heard that.
Marcus Mariota is a different animal, dude.
I don't think we'll hear that about Sam Darnold. I know we won't hear that about Sam.
Maybe. You don't know.
We might hear that he's not good enough, which I don't think we'll hear either.
You
but
didn't think you
we
would,
won't hear that he's
you,
egotistical.
You wouldn't think you would hear what about Carson Wentz either.
I would not have thought that. Right? That's fair. I would not have thought that.
You wouldn't think this about
Definitely
Jared Goff.
Thought that.
You wouldn't think that. Young players, and this isn't even about him being egotistical.
Ego is almost immaterial. Who cares about the ego?
Dismissive, or if it was Sam Darnold, it'd be something else. You know what I mean? There's always going to be a gripe because he's a young player. The problem is in Philly, there's another option, right? There's not another option in New York.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, oh, you got, I don't know, who would be a good backup.
Bring back Josh McCown for another year. Tutelage.
So, like, say Teddy Bridgewater was still there. Say they hadn't traded Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
And if Teddy Bridgewater's in there and Sam Darnold in those four or five games that he missed or was banged up for this year, let's say Teddy Bridgewater is in the game and he just lights it up and has, like, I don't know, 350 yards and four touchdowns per game. And then,
and Teddy Bridgewater won you the Super Bowl the year before.
Yeah, exactly. Man. And now Sam Darnold's in a second year. People are asked the question, which one do you like better? Do you like Teddy Bridgewater better? Or you like Sam Darnold? And then people would be like, yeah, but Sam, you know, he's a California kid. He's kind of laid back. He doesn't really care as much as, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. There would be something, you know what I mean, if there was an option. There's no option in New York.
Okay, I don't dispute
Sam
that.
Darnold is the guy.
Yeah.
There is a perceived option in Philly. Even though Nick Foles is not actually an option.
Well, I want to examine that, and I want to ask you why not. Why is he not an option?
Because you just drafted Carson Wentz in the first round. To cut him is asinine.
You trade him. You don't cut him. You trade him.
Easier said than done. But are you really trading your first-round pick, who was almost an MVP, because a handful of guys, who knows how many? I mean, I hate these anonymous sources because you can't really even – you almost like do yourself a disservice by justifying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I mean? You might have a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, there's obviously something there. The question is it real or is it important? Does it mean anything?
Well,
I think it doesn't. I really don't.
Okay.
Because every young player goes through something akin to this. Not exactly this. Not the cockiness or the selfishness or the misunderstanding. Just he's a kid from the Midwest who's in Philadelphia. Right? We're not talking about you're in Tampa, Florida, where
that
it's chill.
Didn't hinder him his first year. He was still from the same part of the country where
he was
born.
Maybe,
and he was still playing in Philly.
And he was almost an MVP.
I understand that.
Right? At the end of the day, are you balling? Then nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You could be the biggest ass on the planet. And if you're balling, nobody cares.
No, I get that part.
Right?
But you have to admit, at least, this is a little trickier to navigate here.
Well, maybe. But the veterans on this team, Chris Long, and I can't think of all the other guys.
Fletcher Cox and
Lane Johnson. They've all gotten his back.
Mm-hmm.
And if those guys have his back, then those are the voices I'm listening to. Not the anonymous, I don't know, free agent who's likely not to be there next year.
That's a support group that you want on your side. There's no doubt. But, you know, I don't think – I think that people think that there's this – huge age gap between Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz just turned 26.
I know.
And Nick Foles just turned 30.
Yeah.
Now, I prefer to have the 26-year-old quarterback.
It's not even about
a 30-year-old.
It's not even about the age gap, really.
I think it has to factor in a small amount.
But to me, it's experience. It's being in an NFL locker room and dealing with the 50, or not even 50, because it's probably half of that. So 30 max, 30 men that you're engaging with on a daily basis who are on the offensive side of the ball. You need to all keep happy. You need to learn how to communicate with. You have to direct at the line of scrimmage. You have to have some sort of professional relationship with. And when you're just in the league and you're 22, 24, 5 years old, as he is, Carson Wentz, you don't know how to do that, right? And so all you do is go play. You dig in. You're diligent. You work.
Pat Mahomes
is
different. He's fine.
You can't.
But I mean, I'm just throwing. You said Mariota's different.
Different. But you can't. Pat Mahomes had a father who was a star baseball player, and he grew up in a household where he was influenced by that. You cannot discount that.
Okay, so forget about Pat Mahomes.
Don't even discount it.
Okay, forget about Pat Mahomes.
You can't. Right?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, it was another example of this.
Yeah.
It is probably the most mature young man that anybody's ever seen. There's circumstances that mitigate, and it's unique to every single one.
All right.
If you go talk to the people at Russell Wilson's high school in Richmond, Virginia, which I did, by the way, they will tell you that he acted like he was 30 years old when he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes down to North Carolina, has a difficult circumstances in North Carolina, whether it's with baseball or football, whatever it is. He transfers, he goes to Wisconsin, which is the antithesis of where he grew up and where he spent the early part of his college years, and thrives out there. That tells you something about Russell Wilson as he gets drafted and goes to the Seattle Seahawks and usurps a guy who got paid $10 million or $15 million a year 2 weeks into training camp and became the starter for the Seattle Seahawks and hopefully won them a championship. Russell Wilson's a special player. Pat
Deshaun
Mahomes
Watson fit in pretty easy.
Pat Mahomes is a special player. Deshaun Watson, when you talk to Dabo Swinney, he tells you he's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan
Dak
of
Prescott,
the NFL.
Dak Prescott fitting pretty easily.
Did he?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't think
so. He took
so.
The job from Tony Romo.
He
never looked back.
He didn't take the job from Tony Romo. Tony Romo got jacked up.
No, I understand.
He got forced into play. And then the second year, people wanted to get him the hell out of there.
Not his teammates.
Come on, BT.
That's the whole point.
You're revising history, BT.
No,
people
I'm
did not.
Not
love Dak Prescott in Dallas his second year in the National Football League. Trust me. You're forgetting this, right? Zeke Elliott was suspended. They sucked. Everybody was saying, Dak Prescott can't get it done. He's not the guy. We got to find somebody else to replace him.
I just named seven quarterbacks who would fit in pretty easily.
And I've given you an example, BT, of every single one of them. They were all special. Deshaun Watson's special. He played Alabama, which is a pro team, and should have beat them twice. Carson Wentz could be special. All I'm saying about Carson Wentz is that he's in his second year in the National Football League.
Third.
He's young. Second.
This will be his third year.
Going
into his third year.
Okay. He doesn't know how to deal with people yet.
Let me ask you this.
And that's not to say he won't learn how to do it. Russell Wilson, special. He was special from when he was 18 years old. Deshaun Watson, special. Dabo Swinney says he's Michael Jordan. He was special since he was probably 18 years old.
Okay.
Pat Mahomes has probably been special since he stepped out of his mother's womb.
Mitch Trubisky fit in pretty well this year.
Did he?
Yeah.
People want to get rid of Mitch Trubisky last year.
Not his teammates.
Okay.
That's the point.
BT, go find the stories of them calling Mitch Trubisky immature last year. Trust me, BT, this happened, right?
I honestly didn't see those stories.
Okay, well, you weren't looking, but they happened.
Mike, did I miss those stories? The teammates?
Anonymous
sources. This happens with
every young
player.
There were a lot of stories about people saying that Mitch Trubisky was just a little bit immature.
Yes.
Now, was it coming from players? Was it coming from anonymous sources?
Well, that's very much a part of the puzzle here.
Probably. But there was a lot of questions about Mitch Trubisky's maturity.
Okay, well, listen, we're running through the whole league with all the quarterbacks.
I don't know why you're doing that, because it's not even the point. My point is that Carson Wentz is young, and there's another option.
He's 26.
He's young in the league. There's another option. If there was no other option in Philly, this story wouldn't matter. Right, nobody would care. People would say, you know what, Carson Wentz is a little bit of an ass. I can't stand him. But you know what? He's a hell of a quarterback. And at some point, he's going to win an MVP. So we'll swallow it and we'll deal with it. Period.
I don't disagree with what you just said. Here's what I'm trying to get to. The fact that there is somebody in that locker room that has the respect of the locker room and has won at least puts the possibility on the table for discussion, I would think, within Eagles brass maybe they should gauge his interest around the league.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen doesn't mean that it shouldn't.
They've already moved on from Nick Foles. Trust me, you heard it. You heard it at the end of the season.
I'm just telling you. Doesn't mean they can't go back on the word.
They believe that Carson Wentz is their guy. I believe that Carson Wentz is their guy.
I do, too.
I think Carson Wentz has to learn the often untalked about component of being an NFL player. Of course, being an NFL quarterback, an NFL player, you have to learn how to take care of yourself. It is as much a part of your job as being healthy as it is to learn how to, throw into a zone dog coming off your backside. It's the same thing, and he hasn't learned that yet. If he's immature, one thing, that's what it is. You got to be reliable.
The physical stuff, but that's different from how he handles himself in the locker room.
It's all the same, BT. It's because it's a learning curve. It's a learning curve. You learn how to be the right teammate. You learn how to study. You learn how to over-prepare. You learn how to be healthy. You learn how to not be an ass. It's all in the process.
I just find it really interesting that I don't recall the Trubisky stuff from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, feel free to pull it up. I'd love to hear it. Enlighten me. Maybe I did miss it. I can't read everything as much as I try. I may have missed that one. I doubt it, but I may have. And of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, this is the one guy whose teammates are talking badly about him.
No, it's not. This is the one that's...
Well, at least the one who actually matters. I'm not talking about a backup.
This is the one that matters.
So even if Trubisky, even if I'm off on that, and they did say that about Trubisky, where are the other quarterbacks that teammates are whispering, anonymous or otherwise? It's just very odd that you hear this about...
No,
I can't take it for gospel.
No,
I guess
not.
I'm not saying that. But
if
I
you're buying this as
dismiss
a,
it.
If you're buying this as a problem in Philadelphia, then you're buying a quarterback controversy that's selling newspapers and is creating news, right? I don't see this as a problem at all in this locker room.
But if
I
some
really
of the
don't.
Players do, isn't that all that
I
matters?
Mean, when a player, maybe it's 4, 5, say something like this and don't want to put their name to it,
yeah.
I call them cowards. And they're full of it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
They're full of it.
I know and your policy anonymous. You, I hate those quotes.
And, and to be honest with you, I don't want that guy on my team anyways.
But it doesn't mean it wasn't
and
said.
And to further go down the line with those guys,
yeah.
They're not good teammates. It is what it is, right? So maybe they're actually the problem.
I'd make some calls. I would see what I could
There's
get
no
for
chance.
Him.
Absolutely no,
no
chance.
No chance you even make a call.
Not a chance at all. I make a Oof. Call for
I
Carson
make
Wentz.
A call.
I make plenty.
And
for
oh
Nick
yeah,
Foles.
By the way, he's been hurt the last 2 years.
You gotta learn how to stay healthy.
All right, man.
And by the way, he probably could have played in this postseason.
But Nick Foles played great, so they need him.
Go with the hot hand. Go with the hot hand.
Every time he plays, he gets the hot hand.
Okay.
And his teammates love him.
Not really. Week one and week two, he didn't look too hot.
Well,
I did that Philly game.
When
he
it matters.
Looked, he looked pretty terrible.
When it matters.
Yes, when it matters.
When it matters.
But if it didn't matter for if you don't matter for you know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks,
and
all of a sudden you're 2-6 and you're screwed.
I got you. All right, so listen, we'll switch it up. If you guys want to weigh in on that on Twitter, obviously Tiki and I disagree. It's all good. Hit us on Twitter, Tiki and Terry. DeMarco Farr, former Rams defensive lineman, and he's their sideline reporter. We'll talk to him coming up. Obviously, every day we'll start to wet the whistle a little bit, get ready for the Super Bowl. So we'll talk to Farr coming up on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, inbounds, out of bounds, coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on the Tuesday after Conference Championship Sunday. Obviously, a lot of time to dissect this game, but let's at least start dissecting at least how the Rams got to this point. Former Ram, DeMarco Farr, he's actually part of the sideline crew as well. He moved from St. Louis to L.A., whipped the team, but he's with us here. Played 7 years in the league, made a Pro Bowl as well. DeMarco, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
I am great. How you guys doing?
Good. We're doing well.
Hey, how was that move, by the way, in St. Louis?
Oh, I mean, easy.
He didn't do anything.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, like,
yeah. The trucks came
like
and
you
picked
lived
it up.
Somewhere for a long time.
I
you just
kind
of up and go to L.A.?
Well, along those lines, before we get into the you know, the seeds that were planted and how this blossomed into what the brands have blossomed into, you know, you've got roots in St. Louis, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. The devout Rams fans that are still in St. Louis, are they feeling any happiness? Is it torn? What are they feeling, man?
The friends that I have that are still there are happy. Of course, there's some hard feelings. I mean, the team is here, not there. There's still some hard feelings towards the ownership. Stan Kroenke, Kevin Demoff's name comes up quite a bit. But, I mean, they're happy for the players, the guys that really had no – you know, no decision. They had no say in the team moving back to Los Angeles. So they kind of get it. If you liked the players then, if you understood what we were about and what we went through back then, you can understand right now. You know, Aaron Donald had nothing to say about this. Todd Gurley had nothing to say about this. Jared Goff knows nothing about this. So, I mean, be happy if you can, but if you can't, I guess people understand.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. But from a now in Los Angeles standpoint, what's the fan base like out there? I mean, because we know how, I don't want to say apathetic, but just kind of like, it's football. Hey, what's it like? What's it been like for the last couple of years out there in Los Angeles with these two new teams injected, obviously you all and the Chargers?
Tiki, we're gaining on them, man. It's a Laker town.
Yeah.
It's all about LeBron. I mean, no matter what LeBron does, what he had for breakfast, what masseuse he had, that's going to lead every sports talk radio show. That's going to lead every TV show that talks sports out in Los Angeles. But slowly but surely, the Rams are creeping up on them. And, you know, how can you deny it now? Look, the thing you had to do when you moved back to Los Angeles was you had to win and win big. If you can get a Super Bowl in there, then that's really going to set you apart from everything else, you know, in this town, at least for 1 year. So Sean McVay, after two seasons, job well done. Now, you got to finish the thing off. You got to beat the Patriots. But as far as building the fan base and paying it off, that playoff game versus Dallas was about as loud as it could get. I mean, yeah, it was fever pitched. Everybody was involved, and you paid them off with the win. So that's going to help you sell tickets moving forward. If you win the Super Bowl, it's going to help you sell even more tickets when you open the new stadium. So they're doing the exact right thing to win in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, DeMarco, I think you're a little bit younger than me, I think. But I think you're a little bit older than me, I mean, than me. So you remember when teams like the Redskins, I grew up in Southwest Virginia, would try to, quote, buy a championship. You remember those years? And it was like, this isn't going to work. It feels like Les Snead, and I guess with Stan Kroenke's blessing, has bought this success right now. All these trades that came in, Aqib Talib, obviously Sue was a waiver wire pickup, but Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Dante Fowler at the deadline, Brandon Cooks comes over. I mean, the team was built to win right now, and it's working, and that's rare. I mean, it's kind of unique for L.A., but it had to happen, as you were saying. If you're going to a new market like L.A., you better win. If you suck for 5 years, nobody's going.
See ya.
Oh, yeah. I remember in 94 when we weren't very good and the seats were empty, and next thing you know, we're playing in St. Louis. So things happen. But you have to keep winning. So that's the thing. But, you know, I mean, they invested in Jared Goff, and year one he took a beating like all rookie quarterbacks usually do, and then he got better. So the investment in getting him better was a coaching one, was within Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. Aaron Donald, there was a split down the middle of the room whether they should draft him or not. I'm glad the right guys won because he's here now and he's dominant. Todd Gurley was drafted before all these free agent pieces started to, you know, come into place. But when you start to have pretty good roots or you can build a foundation around those type of guys and you feel like you can go all in, then, I mean, why not? If Ndamukong Suh wants to come out and play for you on a team that he feels that he can get a ring out of, then so be it. If Aqib Talib brings over that championship pedigree to this football team because he believes in what Sean McVay and this team is doing, then so be it. But I think you have to do that in this day and age. Everybody's always trying to get better. Even the worst teams in the league are trying to add pieces to not be the worst team in the league. So if you're not going for it every single year, then what are you really doing?
Yeah, no, I hear you. DeMarco Farr is with us, Super Bowl 34 champ. Of course, 7 years at the Rams. He's here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I like Jared Goff. I know Tiki likes him as well. He's a level-headed kid. He seems, you know, pretty humble, just put his head down, try to get better at his job, know when to defer, know when to speak up. Growing into the role a bit, and there's no doubt he had to get away from Jeff Fisher. We all know that. God, that Hard Knocks was a little rough to watch for the first overall pick. But DeMarco, I want your real honest assessment. It's one thing to put up numbers. It's another thing to have real, pure talent. I want you to describe tangibly his talent level. Not McVay, not the numbers, not the wins. What does Jared Goff do really well?
Well, first off, I know why Tiki likes Jared Goff, because Jared Goff plays well with a good running game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Turn around and hand it off a lot.
That helps.
Absolutely. But he's very deceptive. Tangibly put, I mean, he's very deceptive. He's got a great hard count. He can run the offense. He can change tempos on you in a heartbeat. He's athletically sound. He can boot either direction and throw with accuracy, rolling either way. There's not anything you can send in that he can't run. So it's almost limitless. You can run a limitless offense with a guy like him, and he's unflappable. Win, lose, pick, touchdown, he's the same guy. And look, you know, I played with some – how can I say this without throwing guys under the bus?
Go ahead.
Quarterbacks that weren't very good.
Yeah.
Everything had to be perfect for them to be good. And then I played with guys like Kurt Warner, like it does not matter. It could be bad, it could be great, it could be this, it could be that. He could have no time. He could have all the time in the world, and he can just cut you apart. So those are the special-type quarterbacks. With time, I think Jared Goff can kind of mature into that type of player. I think he went through many hell versus New Orleans. They gave it to him. There was crowd noise. They were sending blitzes after him. He was taking hits. He was getting the ball out. He was throwing it with guys hanging off his jersey. So that's the type of stuff that keeps you on the field and inspires your sideline at the same time.
Okay, good stuff. So let me put it this way. And there will be a point in his career when, you know, Gurley's not behind him or Gurley's behind him and he's diminished and, you know, there's an absence of receivers. Every quarterback kind of goes through this peaks and valleys where the talent, the cupboard's just not quite as full. Mm-hmm. Does Jared Goff have enough in the toolbox to elevate an average product and make it excellent?
we're going to see. I think you've got at least two more years or at least one more season before that happens. Everyone knows what happens when you have to pay the quarterback. You start hemorrhaging talent all over the field. Look at Seattle. Look at Baltimore. It happens. When you pay that number one guy upwards of $25, $30 million, you're not going to have enough to pay on defense or a left tackle or somewhere. You're going to hurt. So eventually I think he can mature into that guy to where – it's like Aaron Rodgers. No matter who you have around him, or Brady, the guy you're about to face in the Super Bowl, no matter who you have around him, they're going to be elevated because of him. So I think Jared is on his way to that. Like you said, he took a beating year one. The last two seasons he's been to the Pro Bowl, and now he's in the Super Bowl. So he's only going to keep getting better, we hope.
Yeah. No, we mentioned Todd Gurley here a second ago. I love him. I think he's a fantastic kid. He's obviously a great runner and a great wide receiver, but – in the postseason so far, DeMarco, C.J. Anderson, who I have respect for, won a Super Bowl out in Denver, came off the street and just balled. 39 carries to 22 for Todd Gurley. What is going on with Todd Gurley? I know they don't want to talk about, I guess you all, don't want to talk about an injury, but it feels to me like there's something lingering there.
Well, you have to take him at his word. If he says he's 100%, then he's 100%. But, I mean, clearly there's something going on with him. He had to take a month off towards the end of the year, and they had to go out and get a guy like C.J. Anderson. Now, I don't think they thought C.J. would be this good.
Yes, yeah, true.
So C.J. is kind of like on a mini Kurt Warner tour. He's turning heads and, you know, really letting people know what he's about. But as far as running downhill and winning in the postseason, I mean, C.J. Anderson knows how to get it done. It's not about shifty. It's not about looking for the perfect hole or being a slasher every now and then. It's sometimes you got to make the hole. So for what they needed going into Arizona and then San Francisco and then playing Dallas and then how you had to win versus New Orleans, he has been absolutely great. And not just on the field. He's been a leader on the sidelines rallying guys. Because remember, he's got more playoff experience than almost anybody on the field with the Rams.
Good point.
So he's been a revelation on the field and great off it.
Yeah, no, so we only have a couple minutes here, DeMarco, but it's way too early to do predictions on the Super Bowl. You couldn't do it anyways. But the coaching matchup in this game is going to be probably the second, maybe first or second biggest storyline between Sean McVay and the legend, the Jedi, and Bill Belichick. How do you handicap that very early?
Well, you know, you were a player, and you stay in it long enough, eventually you're going to see yourself walk through the door. There's going to be a kid like you that comes through that's willing to take your job. Same for coaches.
Yeah.
So everyone says about Belichick, give him 2 weeks, he'll figure you out. Well, I'll say the same about McVay. Give him 2 weeks to look at your defense, he's going to find the holes. He's going to find your tells.
All right. There, look at it. You know he's in the business.
You're
he knows he's got to get out. Tiki says we got a little bit of time here. Bang. He hits the big, no post, but he hits the imaginary post. DeMarco, good spot, buddy.
Yeah, well,
are you going to be out of suit? Well, of course you'll be there. You'll be on Radio Row, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Not man, swing on by.
I will. Absolutely. I'll bring cookies.
Nice. Tiki will eat them. Thanks, DeMarco. We'll see you, pal.
You got it, guys.
All right, man. DeMarco Farr, formerly of the Rams, won a Super Bowl there. So
yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was. He's polished. He used to work with
As a player. He was a good
only
player.
Played 7 years though.
I know, but he was a good player.
He was strong. There's no doubt he was strong. I was trying to remember who some of his bad quarterbacks were because he didn't want to throw him under the bus. I know he played with Tony Banks for a minute.
Yeah, Tony Banks was one.
Who else did he play with in St. Louis before? Trent Green.
Trent Green
Trent
got
was
there.
Good, though. Trent got hurt. Kurt was great. Tony Banks, Chris Miller.
Chris Miller.
I think Chris was old at that point.
Yeah.
Right? Who else, Mike?
Chris Miller, Tony Banks, Mark Rippon had a couple years
Mark
in 95.
Rippins.
Come on, dude.
Everywhere. Who else?
Oh, our favorite, all-time favorite.
Wait,
Steve Bono.
Stevie. Stevie Bono.
Oh, we got to pull
two
that.
Games
we
back
gotta,
in 98.
We got to pull
wow.
that interview out of the archives.
The extensive CBS Sports Radio archives. It's in there somewhere.
Yeah, in the worst of.
What a winner. Oh, yeah. All right, let's get the update from Matt. Coming up after that, we've got inbounds, out of bounds. We have a little something on, let's see, fan behavior. Carmelo, oh God, yawn. Klay Thompson, all that coming up after Rack. Here he is. All righty, Tiki and Tierney back here on Tuesday, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Time now for the game plan for success. Success sponsored by Napa. Let's take a look at the team or somebody else and their plan for success here. Bill Belichick knew he had to limit Patrick Mahomes' opportunities. Obviously, he wanted to make sure he didn't have the football too much in the AFC Championship game on Sunday. So the Pats' game plan was really death by a million little cuts, using long, sustained drives that milk the clock. New England double up Kansas City in time of possession, and were barely able to hold on in overtime. Napa Auto Parts has the expertise and parts you need to help you keep your car on the road, no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That is Napa know-how. A couple hours away, we get the Hall of Fame votes. Obviously, Teek and I started the show with that. Morphed into the Carson Wentz, Nick Foles stuff. We'll do inbounds, out of bounds here in a moment. Next hour, got to dive into the Warriors, the Dubs. Tap the brakes. Tap them. You tap these. Tap them up. Tap them up, right?
The Warriors are ridiculous.
They are. And I got a
how do we ever think that they would just...
Well, I know. Because I think maybe our minds want us to... Yeah, it's like theater of the mind. We want something different. Want something creative. Yeah. We don't want to see them just waltz to another championship.
They just destroyed the Lakers. No, the shorthanded, obviously, but still.
Oh, man. When is LeBron getting back? We got to get him back soon. I mean,
if Clay's dropping 44, doesn't matter. Seriously.
Doesn't matter. You ready for inbounds, out of bounds?
Yep, let's go.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, after new videos from a local Kansas City TV station show a green laser pointer being flashed in Tom Brady's eyes. Didn't work.
No.
During a couple of plays, the NFL's launched an investigation. Now, we remember back in 2014, this happened with the Bills and the Lions. This was in Detroit, where a fan was shining a laser pointer at Bills players, and he was found guilty of disorderly conduct and sentenced to 80 hours of community service, in or out. The NFL should ban fans caught using laser pointers from games for life.
Inbounds. This is ridiculous. It's a competitive disadvantage. Not that you're going to get blinded. You're going to get blinded by these things. But it's also just stupid and immature.
Banned for stupidity.
Banned for stupidity.
Uh-huh.
So inbounds. This is an easy one.
I totally agree. I didn't have to give this a whole lot of thought. But you know what? But why is it different? Like, what if you're at a concert and you do it? And it doesn't really impact the performer. They don't mind.
But it's kind of part of it. They have laser shows anyway.
No, I know. Being facetious.
I forgot which one I went to at the Garden. Like, the whole thing was a laser show. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Those are wild, some of those, right?
No, it's crazy. I'm like, what am I even looking
at? Was that the Bruno Mars concert that you went to?
Yes.
It was Bruno, right?
Yes. Half of it was, like, it was awesome.
Yeah. So it synced up with the music.
Yeah.
They have a laser light Pink Floyd thing that I saw years ago in college. It was pretty awesome. I was a little bit surprised. Even remember when I went to see Def Leppard at Journey at the Garden? That even had some laser light elements, some laser elements. I'm a little bit surprised. Usually it's like the trippy kind of throwback, hippie stuff. But no, I mean, listen, I'm with you. This is easy. You're just a weird fan if you bring this into the games.
You're right.
Wouldn't even consider doing that. Inbounds, I totally agree.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, the Rockets signed recently released forward Kenneth Faried, energy guy, and made a little room for him on the roster by trading Melo. Well, poor Melo. Nobody wants him. Melo got dealt to the Bulls. The Bulls are going to get rid of him. Anyway, yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, as we know, and the league office was closed and couldn't process the Melo deal, so the Rockets were forced to terminate a 10-day contract for a former Italian League MVP, James Nunnally, who they actually kind of liked, to make room for Faried. Now, before the game, Mike D'Antoni wasn't exactly thrilled with this. He said, quote, "I don't think it's right. There's ways the league could have facilitated it," end quote. This is an interesting one. Yes. In or out, the league office should be available for transactions whenever there are games being played, even if it's a holiday.
Yeah, just some context here. This move was done because Clint Capella is out. He's been out for about a week or so. Now, the league does have provisions for holiday transactions. You have to have it in the day before, by 6 p.m. the day before. So you knew Clint Capella was out. You probably were having these conversations for about a week. Just get it done. I don't have any sympathy for the Rockets here. Out of bounds. I know it is a little bit hypocritical because there are actual games being played on holidays and, you know, something is open. You know what I mean? Like, something at the league office has to be open.
Yeah, replays open in Secaucus.
Exactly.
They got something's going on.
Something is the lights are on, let's put it that way. But come on, Rockets. You knew you needed this a long time before this actually happened.
I'm going to say, even though I actually agree with you pertaining to the Rockets, I'm going to say inbounds because there could be another situation that creeps up, whether it's next Martin Luther King Day or a different holiday that you
this
don't envision.
This one is different. This one is different because Capella got hurt last week.
Yep. This one you could plan out. You could plot out a little bit. Sometimes, you know, the fluid nature of sports, things happen. 10-day contracts. Mm-hmm. I mean, the G League, all the shufflings. Does somebody actually have to be sitting at a desk? I mean, to help facilitate a deal? I mean, in a mobile world, there's no way you can just Skype in or do some sort of a transaction via technology?
I live off my iPad. I basically have my office, whatever it is I'm doing in my office.
With me every second of the day. I don't understand this.
I
say inbounds. I hear where you're coming from. The Rockets had a little time, I think, to get this more buttoned up, but it could affect somebody else. So for them, I'll say inbounds.
Going forward.
Are you in or are you out?
Last night, the Warriors and all-star Klay Thompson tied an NBA record, hitting 10 consecutive threes on his way to 44 points.
Yeah,
Golden State beat the Lakers by 20, all right? As we know, Klay's a free agent coming up after the season, but he's seen his PER drop over the past few seasons from the 29th best back in 2014-2015 to 109 last year and now 93rd this year at just 16.77. That is really low.
It is.
I mean, 16.77 is very low. So, he's 28, all right, and his field goal, his free throw, and his three-point percentages are all at five-year lows, and he's failed to score over 20 in 11 of his last 17 games. In or out, Klay Thompson's a max contract player who can lead a team deep into the playoffs.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. I think he fits in this role perfectly that he's in. He is taking steps backwards, probably not because of his lack of skill or ability, but because there's so many other options to choose from on the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, before KD got there, he was the second scoring option. He was the guy.
Yep.
And so obviously his PR was high, his usage percentage was high, all those things were up there. He felt invigorated and useful. Kevin Durant comes and that all changes. So it's hard to go from this bigger role to a smaller role and the team still have equal, if not better, success, if that makes sense.
No,
it does. It's just an odd dynamic.
Yeah.
But my answer to the question is I think out of bounds. I think he fits best exactly where he is.
Okay, I'm going to say out of bounds because I only agree with part of the statement here. I do believe he's a max contract player in the modern NBA.
I didn't even nod at that, but yes, I think he is.
But I can't say in bounds because I don't think he can lead a team deep into anything here. So my answer is out of bounds. I'm with you on that. I do believe he's a max player. He's going to get every penny. He deserves it. The one thing that's alarming, though, is that his efficiency shouldn't necessarily suffer. It's one thing if you go from you could say, well, repetitions, you don't get in a rhythm. All right, there's something to be said for that. But if you go for the second option, as he so clearly was behind Steph Curry, and now, Boogie's getting 9 shots as he did last night, and obviously Kevin Durant's getting 15 to 18 a night shots, it's obviously a different pecking order, but you would also think because he's no longer the second option, he's now getting more open looks because he's less of a focal point for the opposing defenses.
That's a good point.
So his efficiency should really soar, not go low like it has.
I think it's still recovering, though, because he started off really bad.
Yes, and you knew he was going to come back because he can shoot.
Exactly.
But he's not going to lead a team deep. But he is a max, I say, out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, in his UFC debut over the weekend, much maligned former star of the NFL, Greg Hardy, he lost by DQ. He delivered a nasty, illegal knee to Crowder's head while he was on the ground. Now, Hardy was booed heartily by the Brooklyn crowd, but he defended his illegal move after the fight.
I can guarantee you that his knee was coming up. He was getting up. I was just inexperienced. It was me mistiming it, man, but I was trying to time it like I just watched Cowboy Cerrone do, like I just watched everybody else do, man, and I thought it was the right thing to do at the time, and it was not. I messed up.
Okay, and UFC president Dana White was also impressed with Hardy.
One thing that I did learn about Hardy tonight, he can fight. He can fight. He's an athlete. Not only can he punch hard, but he can take a big punch. And he learned a lot tonight.
So he has a future in the UFC for sure.
Yeah, he'll get another fight. You know, he made a really big rookie mistake, and it cost him an L tonight. So it ruined his perfect record.
Okay, now, many UFC fighters reacted on social media, as you would imagine, lamenting that such an inexperienced, troubled fighter would get a shot as a main event on a major card. In or out, Hardy should get another shot to fight in the UFC.
I'm saying out of bounds, and this is personal. I just don't care about him. I don't want to see him. I know he will. I can't keep him from getting a job and doing whatever it is he wants to do, but I don't care about it, Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy, the person out of bounds. Greg Hardy, the UFC fighter. I'm going to try to limit it just to answer the question. Trust me, I hear you on that, Teague. But as a UFC fighter, I believe that he should. I believe that it's a tactical mistake. I believe that if he had a different reputation, it wouldn't really even be
wouldn't even be talked about.
Yeah, but that reputation, while it happened while he was an NFL player, hasn't crept into the UFC. So while I'm not a Hardy fan at all, and I never will be, I'm going to grade him as a UFC fighter, as I believe Dana White will as well, and I believe he should get another fight.
Yeah.
And hopefully he loses.
If he's ever on a main event in his pay-per-view, I would never, ever buy the fight.
No. Or buy it and just hope he gets destroyed. Third hour coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.